Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the cheerful giver, and we believe, Lord, that in this camp, everybody will be blessed, will be built up, will go to the next level, will go to the higher level of glory, and your presence shall be there. Your Lord glory, your fire, your river will flow in the camp. This year you will move these churches to the next level, not only individually, but corporately, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God always brings his message to the church, and a different time, different kinds of message. One thing that God really speaks to me is that he wants to build all of us up physically, spiritually, and mentally. He wants us to go from glory to glory to glory. He wants us to be strong and be ready for whatever he wants to do through us. Prayer is one of the most important things in Christian life. And after this session, after this camp, I believe that more people are going to pray. And not only that, all of us are going to be praying more effectively, because we're going to learn from the Bible how to be effective in prayer life. God wants us to grow and be effective and expand, not only in numbers, but also in quality, in effectiveness, in results. He wants us to develop spiritually and physically and mentally. Amen. How many people want to move from glory to glory to glory? I want to move from glory to glory to glory. I want to move on. I don't want to stay the same. Amen. And I believe that you all set the same goal, that you're going to grow up to become like Christ. In James chapter 5, verses 15 to 16, the Bible says, "And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." This is the text that we're going to use in this camp. Before I preach this, I want to tell you one thing about the heart desire of my life, is that my heart in the ministry, in our family, in the church here, I want to see the move of God. Amen. Yesterday, I told Pastor Noom from River of Life Church that people ask him, when you're going to set up the system, when you're going to improve the system of the church. You know, nothing wrong about having the system. Nothing wrong about having the agenda and have all this organization thing. But I told him that the most important thing in the church is the presence of God. Amen. You can have all the system, but if God doesn't show up, it's meaningless. We want the move of God. And if God show up and I have to be on the floor with my nose on the ground, on the carpet, and I cannot even get up, and I say, "Lord, you are good. You are God." That's all I want. I want to see the move of God in our midst. I want the Lord to show up. And I tell you, when God show up, he will come with power. He will come with deliverance. He will come with healing. He will come with great, great miracles. So the key of any ministry is the presence of God. And what we need to do is that we need to surrender. We need to be hungry for the presence of God. We need to be hungry for the move of God. We need to have faith in him. Amen. And when I pray all the time that whoever show up in this church will get healed, will get delivered, will get move on, will get saved, will be the problem, the curses in their life will be broken when they come into this church, not because of a good system, not because of a good program, but because of the presence of God. God is everywhere, but He does not manifest Himself tangibly everywhere. We want the tangible presence of God show up in our meeting. Amen. That is our heart desire. I want God to be with me, the tangible presence of God to be with me everywhere. And one thing that we can see the move of God is the life of prayer. And I can explain to you in this camp that you, many of you may think, oh, I learned about prayer for a long time. I know about prayer, but I tell you, you're going to hear many things that you never heard before. Amen. So God wants us to develop our life in the area of prayer. And I want to see all the members hungry for God and spend time more with God. Amen. The Bible says like this, if somebody is sick, we can pray. Let me ask this question. If somebody is sick in the church, can we pray for him? Yes or no? Should he wait for an evangelist come into town? Should we wait for the Benny Hinn crusade? No. Every believer can lay hand on the sick, and the sick can be healed. Amen. You heard the testimony of my friend Francine last Sunday that his mom has locked jaw. And then one day, a lady, just a simple lady from Europe, lay hand on her and she got healed. And then what happened? After that, the whole family got saved and one of her sons became a world evangelist. So anybody can pray for the sick. And the will of God is for everybody to be healed and to live in divine health. I shoot for living to the good old age. I don't know about you. I'm not shooting for sickness and diseases. I'm shooting for living to the good. I would die of the good old age. Every morning when I wake up, I dig my heel in the ground like this in my spirit and say, I'm going to be healthy and strong and sickness cannot be on my body because that's what the word of God says. And when we see somebody sick, we can lay hand and we believe and we can pray. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Amen. And you know what? Faith begins from knowing the will and the word of God. So in this camp, we're going to learn the will and the purpose of God. James chapter 5 verse 16 in Amplified Bible. I like Amplified Bible for many reasons. Because it really expands to help us understand. The word of God says, confess to one another, therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. Pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, everyone say earnest. Heartfelt. Continued prayer of a righteous man or a woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. What we learn from the scripture here is that prayer activates the power of God. If you want to see the power of God, you need to learn how to pray effectively and biblically. God is allowed, listen carefully, God is allowed to demonstrate His power through our prayer. If we don't pray, we may not see the power of God. People say, Pastor Lau, why when you lay hand on people, you say fire, fire, bless. You know that is prayer. I'm praying the fire of God come on them. When I say that fire, I activate the power of God from heaven and the fire of God falls on people. Amen. So actually I was praying. People wonder why he keeps saying that. I speak. We're going to learn in this camp about speaking. The prayer of speaking. We call require from God. Amen. So prayer is one of the ways to activate God's power. The Bible said the earnest, it doesn't mean, God, could you help me? No. Earnest. Father. You know, you have the zeal. You pray with zeal. You pray with on fire. You pray with the faith inside of you. And from the heart, the heartfelt prayer from your heart. It's not just a tradition. It's not just a ritual thing. But pray sincerely from your heart. Continue. Mean, don't give up. Just keep praying. Of a righteous man make tremendous power
dynamic in its working. I like God's power. I don't know about you, but I like the power of God. I like cars. I like to drive sport car, but for some reason, I don't buy it. Because I don't want police to look at me and say, oh, wow, this guy. I like car with powerful engine under the hood. How many people like powerful car? All the men raise hand. I know that. All the men like powerful car. Some of you like powerful computer, high-speed internet. Click, bam, come up. You don't need to sit there for 5 minutes until all the picture come up. You click, bam, bam, bam. Many people like powerful computer. But I tell you, powerful engine of the car, powerful computer and laptop cannot be compared to the power of heaven. The power of heaven is more powerful than the car. Amen. And God give us the key. God give us the key to activate that power of God. Amen. And that key is prayer. I want to tell you this. The power of God, you know, the engine of the car produce pollution. Is that right? But the power of God come this way. The power of God is pure. The power of God is holy. The power of God is healing. The power of God is delivering. I mean, set people free from demonic power. The power of God is restoring. The power of God is dynamic. It's full of joy. It's giving. It's peace bringing. When the power of God show up, you feel joy. You feel peace. You feel that you are healed all the time. If you notice one thing, one day God spoke to me. You notice that I don't have a lot of sleep. I work very hard. I work for 2 jobs. But I rarely get sick. And one day I spoke to God. God said that the reason you never get sick because every Sunday you let the power of God flow through you. Why you laying hand on people to let the whole power touch people, the power flow to you too. So all the sickness is gone. Just watch out all the sickness. That's why I rarely get sick. Because the power of God is the power of healing. Amen. So you need to love the power of God. And the Bible promises this way. Listen carefully. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man make tremendous power of God available, dynamic in its working. How many people want to live a powerful life? I want to live a powerful life. What you do? Prayer. I heard a testimony from Rivers of Life in Bangkok. One of the sisters who is a worship leader, her name is Note. She has sister-in-law, is that right? Sister-in-law, auntie. She has an auntie who came to church and accepted Christ one and a half years ago, and never come back to church. One day in their intercessory prayer meeting on Tuesday night, suddenly God gave her the faith. And she prayed that, God, we're going to join hand together, join heart together, and pray for this lady, her auntie, to turn around and show up in the church on this coming Sunday and turn around 180 degrees. And they pray like that on Tuesday night. On Sunday, she showed up. She said that, she gave testimony like this. This auntie say, I don't know, suddenly in my house, I was sitting there and I feel that I need to go to church. And I'm going to go and turn around 180 degrees. She say like this. She say, I'm going to turn around 180 degrees. Wow, the power of prayer. Amen. So, you see, if you want your loved one saved, you need to learn how to pray. You need to learn how to activate the power of God. And you're going to see miracles happen after miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James chapter 5 verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly. Everyone say earnestly. Earnestly. He didn't pray lazy, in a lazy way. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. The Bible says that Elijah was like you and me. He was a mere man. He was a human. He was discouraged sometimes. He makes mistakes. He did not know everything. Is that right? Everyone accept that we all do not know everything. We make mistakes. But this man, one thing he did is that he prayed earnestly. And what happened? His prayer changed the whole world atmosphere. Wow. You can pray for the rain to come and you can pray the rain to stop. I mentioned one time that I went to Tokyo and the broadcast said that there will be this heavy snow the whole weekend. I arrived there on Friday night and I went there to have a meeting in the church. So if the snow come, the train, the bus, everything gonna stop because it's actually when I went there already snow everywhere. So I was standing in a big hotel in Tokyo and point my finger to the sky and I say, in the name of Jesus, I command that snow will not come this weekend. I'm here for the ministry. You must stop. And you know, next morning, the sky was blue and there was no snow. Because of prayer, earnest prayer of a righteous man. Amen. I remember one time I tried to sell my house. And I couldn't sell it because the stock market went down at the month that I put the house in the market. And I forgot about this lesson. And suddenly I was standing in my kitchen and God said, why don't you just pray earnestly and command it to happen? I was standing in the island in my kitchen and I say, in the name of Jesus, my house is going to be sold in 6 weeks with this price. And it happened 6 weeks later. The earnest prayer of the righteous man make power available. Amen. So we need to learn how to change the circumstance. You can change the circumstance in your family. You can change the circumstance on earth here. The atmosphere can be changed. Your financial situation can be changed. James chapter 5 verse 18 say, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Wow. This man, normal like you and me, didn't know everything, but because he know how to pray, he has relationship with his God, the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why when he prayed, God answered, and great things happened in the atmosphere. My dear brother and sister, at that time he prayed for the rain. And now the church, we pray for the rain of the Holy Spirit. We want to see revival. We want to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will fall into the church, into a nation, into a city with his rain. The rain of the Holy Spirit to water the word of God that is being preached in the churches and in the crusade. And you know what is the most precious fruit of the earth? The most precious fruit of the earth is soul. Soul will go to heaven if we allow the rain of the Holy Spirit to come to water the word of God, the seed of the word of God. We want to produce souls and fruit in the kingdom of God. Amen. My dear brother and sister, we're going to see multitudes and millions of souls saved in a nation, not by a very nice advertising, genius advertising program, not by amazing church structure and programs. We're going to see revival, the spiritual awakening because of the move of God. Amen. I'm going to Bangkok in a few weeks and I'm looking forward. I'm expecting the move of God. I'm expecting that God is going to move and people are going to be healed and the lost are going to be saved. We're going to see the power of God in that hotel in Sukhumvit Road. Amen. Because of the goodness of God, because God showed up. Therefore, we need to pray for revival. We need to pray for the outpouring of the rain of the Spirit of God upon you all come from different countries here. Do you pray for your country, for that the rains of God going to come upon your country? Do you pray for Seattle, that the rain of God going to come to Seattle? Do you pray for your kids, that the rain of the revival going to touch your kids? Amen. I pray for my kids all the time, that the revival going to hit my kids, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to pray and believe that God going to open the spiritual heaven, the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual sky, that the rain of God gonna fall down and people gonna be changed and touched by the living God. Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 to 7. The Bible talk about this. Do you know that when God show up, he will come with provision? He will come with, everyone say, provision. He will come with healing. He will come with deliverance. He will come with joy. He will come with peace. He will come with power. He will come with wisdom. He will come with strength. He will come with divine health. Amen. And direction. That's why we need God to show up. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 to 7. Also the sons of the foreigner who joined themselves to the Lord. What are the foreigners? Foreigners, it doesn't mean people who don't speak English. Foreigners mean those who are non-believers. The unbelievers would join in, into the church, into the kingdom of God. The foreigner, the sons of the unbeliever, who joined themselves to the Lord, to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord, to be His servant. This Bible talk about what? End time, great harvest. In the end time, millions of people of the nations around the world gonna come into the kingdom of God. God called them foreigners, mean those who are not the Jews. Gonna come in, and not only come in, they will serve Him, they will love Him, and they will be His servant. This is a prophecy in the Bible. How many people expect that happen in our generation? I'm gonna be part of that end time harvest. Amen. To go out and preach and give money and do everything to have it happen. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. When the Bible talks about holy mountain, two meanings. Number one, to the church. The church is the mountain of God. Not only that, when you talk about mountain, mean go up higher to the higher level of God. God wants us to go to the higher level of God. Amen. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. I want to see joy. You know, in the house of God, we need to see joy. Amen. So I want to see the joy of God hit the church more. I want to preach about joy this year. To see that the joy of God will hit the church, because we want to see joyful people in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. My dear brother and sister, you are the house of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your life, your body should be a house of prayer. You should be prayerful people. You should be praying people. You should love to pray. And not only that, everywhere, every gathering that has God in control should be the place of prayer. Amen. A house of prayer. You remember one time Jesus went into the temple and He saw that people exchanged money, sold their products, sold their stuff. The atmosphere, the environment of the temple in the time of Jesus was the atmosphere of merchandise, of making money, and the atmosphere of marketplace, like a street market. And He was so upset. The Lord Jesus was so angry. He pulled a whip out. He whipped them. He turned their table. And He quoted this scripture in Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 to 7. He said, my house is a house of prayer. What does it mean when He say, my house is the house of prayer? It means that God's people have to kneel down all the time when they come to church. Does it mean that you have to be in this position all the time? Does it mean that you have to be in this position and pray all the time? No. What does it mean to be in the house of prayer? It means the atmosphere. It means that the temple in Jesus' time has the environment or the atmosphere of a street market. But the house of prayer, the church of God, should have the atmosphere of awareness of the presence of God. Everyone say awareness of the presence of God. Let me ask you this question. Can you talk to a picture? How many people have a boyfriend or girlfriend? You would like to date her picture? You would like to pull up the picture and talk to the picture. Hi, honey. I love you. I told Pastor Da yesterday. Even though there are so many beautiful, pretty women in the world, but you excel them all. You want to talk to the picture? Or you want to talk to the person? You want to talk to the person. So prayer is about awareness of the presence of God. That He show up and He talk to you. This can happen anywhere, not only the church building. I give you example. Last Wednesday, I was operating on somebody's back. I was operating under a microscope. And suddenly, I want to cry. The presence of God show up.
I feel the presence of God. And he began to talk to me. And he asked me a lot of questions. I began to check a little bit. And I say, God, don't let me check during surgery like this, you know. I begin to cry. I begin to feel the presence of God so strong during the surgery. I'm not kidding. I'm not lying. This is true. And you know, when he showed up, he the presence of God was so strong toward me. And he was talking to me. This is the atmosphere. The awareness of the presence of God. Prayer is not religiously doing something like this or doing something. It's awareness. You can perform surgery and he can talk to you. You know what he talked to me? He said like this to me. He asked me a question. Son, will you give up your reputation? No one will know you and your church may not be big, but you will bring the unity in the body of Christ in Thailand. Will you give that up that no one know about you, but you go to bring unity? That you will not attack any church. You will not compare yourself with another church. You go to bless all the churches. Don't build your own kingdom. And when the Lord spoke to me, I said, yes, Lord, I'm willing to. And then the second question come. He asked me, son, can you obey me without any agenda at all? No personal gain. Like, you know, human being, we tend to kind of calculate. If I do this, what am I going to get? If I do this, what is the benefit 5 years from now? And the Lord asked me, will you obey me everything I tell you to do? And no string attached, no plan for any benefit for yourself, just obey. You don't even plan to get benefit, or you don't even try to imagine what you're going to get out of this. How many people sometimes say, what am I going to get out of this? Is that right? He said, no such attitude. Can you do that? And I was crying while performing surgery. And I say, God, yes, I will obey what you tell me to do without any personal benefit. No thinking, planning what I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to just plainly, simply obey you, whatever you tell me to do. That's period. And I promise God that. I think he is checking on me before I go to Thailand. Because he wants to make sure that I don't go there for my own reputation. I don't want to go there to build my own church, to build rivers of life. I will go there just to bless God's people and the lost. It's about souls. It's not about church institution. It's not about the name of any church. It's about Jesus and soul. Amen. So we need to keep our heart right and God can speak to you. So what is the meaning of prayer? Prayer means the most simple definition of prayer is communion with God. Everyone say communion with God. Therefore, prayer is not just talking to God. A lot of people do a lot of talking. They just keep talking to God. Too many people just keep talking, 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 talking. Actually, communion means like this. You talk to God and God talk to you. God listen to you and you listen to him. Both sides, you and him, do some talking and some listening. You listen and you talk. He listen and he talk. That is communion. That is fellowship. That is sharing of ideas, thoughts, feelings. You are aware of his presence. You know that who he is, that he is good. He loves you. He listens to your prayer. You know, when God talks to you, you can hear the tone of his voice. You can feel his presence. I live with Pastor Da for I know her more than 30 years now. I know her since I was only 16. So, for a long time. Now, she didn't even have to say one word. She just looked at my eyes, and I can write 2 pages of what she thinks. I just look at her body language, and I know right away what she wants. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I want to buy some more batteries at Costco. So I say, we are here anyway. We should buy more batteries in case. And I can tell right away from her body language, no. She didn't say no, but the way she walked. She walked out of the area of batteries. She didn't walk to the batteries. But she can go buy something else for herself. Not battery though.
You know, when you talk to God, I don't know about you, but sometimes I almost like feel like I'm looking at His eyes. And you can see what He's speaking to you from His eyes. And He see your eyes, and He see, and He know what you think. It's a communion, it's a relationship, it's a fellowship. Prayer is a communion thing, it's a fellowship. You know Him, and He knows you. And you talk, and you listen. You can feel the tone of God. Sometimes God speak to you like this, I love you. Sometimes He talk to you like this, stop! Stop that! You know, you can feel the tone. You may not hear in an audible voice here, but you can feel that, hey, don't do that. You are out of place now. You just begin to sin now. You have bad attitude. Stop right now. Something like you can feel the tone of His voice. You don't meet Him to lecture Him. Some Christian lecture God. God, you know you need to do this. Some people lecture God. And He didn't come to lecture you either. We talk to Him. And we not only talk to Him, we should do a lot of listening. Let me say this very important sentence. I want you to get it. The one, listen carefully, the one who knows the most should do the most talking. And that person is God. And the one who knows the least should do the most listening. Amen. One time I heard Pastor Kenneth Hagin say like this. He was talking about prayer. And he said like this. One time, a young pastor come into my office. And we have about 30 minutes to talk. He's a busy guy, Pastor Kenneth Hagin. He said that this young man is amazing. He was sitting in front of me, and he talked all the time. And the time of meeting it ends. And Pastor Kenneth Hagin haven't talked anything. And he said that this young man is not very wise. I know more than him. He should sit there and listen to what I need to say to him. A lot of people, after I listened to that sermon of Pastor Kenneth Hagin, I said, from now on, I need to be like a child. I don't know everything. I meet people, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. What they can teach me, what they can tell me. When people talk a lot, it means that deep subconsciously in their heart, they think they know a lot. So they keep talking. Let me repeat one more time this sentence. Okay? The one who knows the most should do the most talking. And the one who knows the least should do the most listening. So when you pray, who should talk more? God or you? A lot of time in our prayer life, we talk a lot. God, give me, give me, give me, God. You complain and this and that. You never sit down and just listen to what God needs to say. Amen? Prayer should be specific. And the key, let me repeat one more time. The key to effective prayer is the greater awareness of God and the greater awareness of who He is. When you sing a song a while ago, God is so good and His love endure forever. Do you really mean it? Do you really get it inside you that God is good? His love endures forever. It's real to me. You know, if you really get it in here, not just a head knowledge, your prayer life will never be the same because you are aware of who He is and you are aware of His presence. And you know He is here. You know God is in this room right now. I don't know about you, I feel Him. I can feel Him right now in this room that God is here. So while you're listening to my sermon right now, you can pray to God and you can, God teach me. I'm listening to you. You are here. This is a house of prayer. Prayer doesn't need to be kneeling down, have some kind of weird, you know, movement or something. You can sit there listening to a sermon and at the same time you listen to God. Let God speak to you. Let God minister to you. His presence is here. Awareness of His presence. Amen. And you're aware that when you talk, He listens. How do you feel if somebody come into your office? For example, if somebody come to you, to Ron's office and come in and say like this, oh Ron, oh Ron, oh Ron, oh Ron. Ron, I have a lot of problem. Oh, Ron, I have a lot of problem. Oh, Ron, please listen to me. I have something to tell you. Oh, Ron, 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 Ron. Some people pray like this. Oh, God, 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 God. I need help. I need help. And God will say, Ron will say, hey, 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 sit down. I know already what you want. Some people pray like that, religiously. They pray like, think that they have to do some way, some certain way of talking and movement that God gonna listen to them. You don't need to. Amen? You don't need to do like that. God is a person. Is God slow? Is God slow at hearing? God is not hard of hearing. Is that right? He actually know you, know what you want even before you tell him. You don't need to tell him 95 times. He knows already. He knows what's going on, everything in your life. He knows everything. Amen? You don't need to keep repeating the same thing again and again. A lot of time, people make prayer as a religious ritual. Religious ritual. And that's not a real prayer. Many people are being religious when they pray. Amen. But prayer is the communion with God. You know that God created the heavens and the earth. And God wants to communion with man. God created Adam and Eve. And the Bible says that before they sinned, God came into the garden and walked with them in the cool of the day. God wants to communion. God wants to talk to us. He can show up in my locker room while I'm changing my clothes into the surgical clothes. God can talk to me while I'm sitting in my bedroom. He can come down to the cool of the day and talk to us. It doesn't have to be a prayer meeting. God can talk to you in the car. God can talk to you. God can commune with you everywhere. Not only in Waikiki Beach. Not only in Honolulu. Amen. But sometimes I like to listen to God in Waikiki Beach. It's fun. Amen. God can speak to you anywhere in the universe. There is a man in the Bible named, his name is Enoch. You know, after Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, Enoch, many hundred years later, heard about what Adam and Eve experienced in communing with God in the Garden of Eden. Wow, God came down, really? The God of the universe came and talked to you? He walked with your great-grandparents? So Enoch began to get hungry for God. And he said, I want that. I want to have communion with God like my great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve. And he began to talk to God. He began to fellowship with God. And he walked with God. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, 21 to 24. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. When Enoch had lived 65 years, so not too late for some of you, okay? If you already turned more than 65, you still can start develop fellowshipping with God. He became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more because God took him away. He didn't die. One day God just took him to heaven. God said, I couldn't stand this anymore. This man loved me so much. This man just, have faith in me so much. He just want to have communion with me all the time so I can take him away from the earth without physically dead. How many people want that? One day, suddenly, Ron Hebron disappear. Because he was with Jeannie. Okay. Disappear. Because they were so falling in love with God. They were just so have the deep walk fellowship with God. Communion with God all the time. And God say, I couldn't stand anymore. Come up here so we can be together. Amen. I believe that God want all of us to be like Enoch. He want all of us to walk with God and communion with God. Listen to God, pray, communion, talk, listen all day long. Pray without ceasing. Amen? Hallelujah. Living in the presence of God all the time. Some of you may wonder why Pastor Lau liked the file of God so much. I want to thank God that God has brought the file of God to this church. You see people fall down, laugh, shaking, crying, all these things. Those are just physical manifestations.
But the meat or the essence of the fire of God is this, that the tangible presence of God come and touch your life, and then you begin to walk in that deep relationship with Him. I told Pastor Num yesterday that since I have been in the fire of God since 1997, I sense the presence of God in my body, in my life, much higher, greater level than before. The fire of God is like a big presence of God, heavy presence of God. So if you embrace the fire of God, you embrace the thick, heavy presence of God into your life, you can feel that every day. Yesterday, I took them out to eat sushi. And I love sushi. When I sit down, I feel the presence of God. I want to cry. I sense the presence of God right away on my body. How many people want to live that way? You live with the presence of God in your body all the time. You sense, you feel His presence everywhere you go. Is it wonderful? And you become more sensitive to Him. You don't want to sin against Him because He's there. You can feel Him. You communion. You can talk to Him all the time. Amen. Get close to Him. Draw near to Him. And He draw near to you. That is a real prayer. Amen. Prayer is not just kneeling down at the bedside and then talking to God. Prayer is all day long awareness of His presence. In Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14, before we go into the message of what is the biblical way of praying, I'm going to talk to you about what is the wrong way of praying first today. Luke chapter 18, 10 to 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Everyone say, with himself. This man went up and prayed with himself. God, I, everyone say, I. Thank you that I, everyone say, I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, and even this tax collector. I, everyone say, I fast twice a week. I, everyone say, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much so raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wow, his prayer is shorter, huh? I tell you, this man, meaning the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You can see the wrong kind of prayer in this scripture. The man, the Pharisee. The Pharisees is the most strictest and religious sect of the Jewish religion at that time. They know the Bible. They can quote the scripture. And this Pharisee went up there, and the Bible says he prayed with himself. Did he talk to God? No. Who he's talking to? To himself. And you can tell why he talked to himself. I. You notice that? So, the first wrong way of praying is this. Don't pray with yourself. A lot of time, a lot of prayer that people do, they pray to themselves, God, poor me. I have no money. I am poor. I'm sick. They're talking to themselves. They try to comfort themselves. They don't talk to God. They don't really have relationship with God. They just keep talking about themselves. But the other man was different. He just go up and say, Father, forgive my sin. He was talking to God. Communion with God. So number one, don't pray with yourself. Everyone say, don't pray with myself. Another way, wrong prayer, wrong kind of prayer. Don't pray in order to impress anyone. You try to talk to somebody else over the shoulder of God. Like this. If I want to talk to Elmer and Pastor Da sitting here. Da, please help me. I talk over her shoulder to tell Elmer. And that's many times people do that. They come into the church. They come to the microphone and they pray, God, I need help. I need money. Could you please help me? But actually, they don't talk to God. They talk to the congregation. Please help me.
They talk to other people to get whatever they want over the shoulder of God. They don't talk to God. Amen. Sometimes people try to pray to impress other people with their spirituality, with their what they know. Thou art, O God. Thou this and thou that. And quote all the scripture. But they don't really, really talk to God. They just want to impress people how much Bible knowledge they have. Amen. Or what even they can do. Don't try to impress other people or anyone with your prayer. Prayer number three. Prayer is not yelling at the devil. Prayer is not rebuking, biting the devil. Yes, sometimes you need to take your authority and say, get out of here, devil. But that is not prayer. Amen? That is commanding that devil to go away with the authority on the name of Jesus. Sometimes you go to some prayer meeting, you know. I went to some prayer meeting. It's not talking to God at all the whole time. Hey, devil, go away. Demon, ha, 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 yelling at the devil all the time. And then finish and everyone go home. That is not prayer. That is yelling at the devil. So that's not prayer meeting. That is talking to the devil. So prayer is not yelling at the devil. In fact, if the presence of God show up, that's all you need. The devil will have to leave. I remember I went to Bangkok last time while the presence of God show up after the worship. One lady, demon, just started to come out without even laying hand on. She began to fall under the power, and the demon come out one by one. We didn't even lay hand on her. But the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 68, verse 2, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melts before the fire. Oh, that's why I like the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. If the fire of God show up, if the presence of God show up, demons have to flee away. That's why we need to worship God and bring the presence of God. You know, before I walk into this service, you know what I pray? I say, God, fill me with your presence. I need the fire of God in my body right now. May the rivers of God flood out of heaven and fill this room so that people will be set free. Psalm 97, verse 5, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The enemy gonna be melt in the presence of God. That's why the key is the presence of God. Amen. The fire of God. Amen. So prayer is not yelling at the devil. Instead of spending a lot of time yelling at the devil, just tell him one time, get out of here, devil, and then start to worship God. And bring the presence of God. And the fire of God come, and the enemy will be melt. Amen. Don't spend too much time in yelling at the devil. Prayer is not bewailing your predicament or recounting your problem for hours and hours. Some people, they do like this. God, I'm in trouble. God, poor me. God, my wife doesn't love me. God, my kids are in trouble. God, I lose my money. Stock market go down. God, the gas price go up. God, keep all night crying, talking, and moaning and whining about their problems. That is not prayer. Amen? Prayer is not lying in bed, crying all night, feeling sorry for yourself. It's not a prayer. I see people do that. The real prayer will be full of joy. You know what? Because if you pray by faith, you can have joy. Because you know God is going to take care. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 56 verse 7, the Bible says, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Joyful. If you pray and pray and cry and cry and cry, I mean, you can cry because if you repent. But when you start to pray, believe for something, you need to laugh. You need to have joy because you know God answer you because God really hear you and God gonna do it for you. You have joy. You can smile. You can laugh. Amen. If pray full of crying all the time, mourning, depression, I don't think that is a prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will be full of joy. Prayer is not spinning wheels, it's not counting beats, or rolling something, or swaying back and forth. Some people pray like this, count beats, swaying back and forth. That is not prayer. You don't see that in the Bible even one time. Amen. Prayer is not chanting some memorized phrases and paragraph mindlessly. Let me repeat one more time. Prayer is not chanting memorized phrases and paragraph mindlessly. For example, like I heard sometimes people just chant like this mindlessly. They don't even understand what they're talking about. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Our earth on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily, our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, and we forgive our debtor, and we do not lead them to blah, 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 blah. Amen. Because they memorize the scripture, and they just keep talking. That is not prayer. Don't do that. We don't memorize the scripture just to talk to God. You pray from your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, prayer is communion with God. You will be more effective in your prayer if you have awareness of God's presence and who God is in relationship with you. Prayer can be done all day long in His presence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us the access to your throne room in the name of Jesus. By the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that even though we were born in the sinful nature, but you forgive us and you give us the opportunity to come back in communion with you. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name that your people in this church will be more effective in their prayer life. There will be praying people like Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, I believe, Lord, in this camp, you shall speak to your people regarding prayer and teach us by your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is our teacher. You will speak to the whole camp, to every single one. Not me, Father, but you speak by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before we end the service, I'd like to ask a question. Is any one of you are not sure that you will go to heaven if you die? You're not sure that you have relationship with Christ. You're not sure that your sins are forgiven. And or maybe you think you are Christian. You have gone to church, but you have not walked with God. Have a personal relationship with God. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to say, God, today I want to make sure that I'm born again. I am a believer. I want to serve God. I want to walk with God on a daily basis. I want to have a relationship with God like Enoch. If you are those people, I'd like to encourage you to stand up and we pray together to invite God to come and say, God, today I commit my life to you and I want to really have relationship with you. Anyone in this room say, God, I just want to make sure. You're not sure you're going to go to heaven? You say, I want to make sure. Could you please stand up and we pray together? Stand up, please. Don't be a shy. Don't be ashamed. Stand up. Stand up. Hallelujah. You want to go to heaven? Stand up. We're going to accept. We're going to ask God to come into your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you acknowledge Him before men, He will acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. If you are ashamed of Him before men, He will be ashamed of you before the Father in heaven. Don't be ashamed of God. Stand up. You're not going to die when you stand up. You're going to be fine. Don't be afraid. Amen. Just stand up. If you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, you want to be saved for sure. Are you sure you go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? You want your sin to be forgiven? Stand up. Stand up right now. Stand up. Nothing is impossible.
stand up. You're not sure. You don't know you have life tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Sibyl, of all things
on the world, out of nothing, formed by your hand, nothing is impossible.
Anyone else? Stand up. Hallelujah. Those who stand up, could you come out here? I'd like to be praying with you, close to you. God loves you. God wants to give you abundant life. Jesus said that the thief comes to destroy, to kill, to destroy, to steal, but I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come to God. The Bible said, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Draw near to God. Yes, Lord. If you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, if you don't have relationship with Christ, come and pray. Anyone else?
Impossible. Nothing is impossible, for nothing is impossible to you.
Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father in heaven,
Father in heaven,
I want to have a personal relationship with you.
I want to have a personal relationship with you.
Please forgive my sin.
Please forgive my sins.
Cleanse me, Lord.
Cleanse me, Lord.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Your Son.
Your Son.
I believe, Lord.
I believe, Lord.
That you love me so much.
That you love me so much.
You send your Son, Jesus Christ.
You send your Son, Jesus Christ.
To die on the cross.
To die on the cross.
To pay for my sin.
To pay for my sins.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
And believe in my heart.
And believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ,
that Jesus Christ
is Lord and Savior.
Is Lord and Savior.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my life right now.
Come into my life right now.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
Today.
Today.
I declare. That I belong to your kingdom.
That I belong to your kingdom.
I am your child now.
I am your child now.
By faith.
By faith.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Give me a new heart.
Give me a new heart.
And remove the stony heart.
And remove the stony heart.
Give me a heart of flesh.
Give me a heart of flesh.
Give me a new spirit.
Give me a new spirit.
Help me, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
To walk in obedience.
To walk in obedience.
And I will see the blessing.
And I will see the blessing.
Deliverance.
Deliverance.
Healings.
Healing.
Prosperity.
Prosperity.
Success.
Success.
Liberty.
Liberty.
Freedom.
Freedom.
In my life.
In my life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For loving me.
Loving
me. I believe.
I believe.
From today on.
From today on.
I walk in victory.
I walk in victory.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Give the mighty hand of praise to God. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.